This morning, we'll be doing chapter 20 of Proverbs, and I'll begin by reading. Again, it's a roadmap of how to live our lives, and it's not a book of poetry or anything like that. This is definitely a book of wisdom on how to live your life. So I'll read it first. Chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provokes him to anger sins against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. A king that sits in the throne of judgment scatters away all evil with his eyes. Excuse me. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right, and whether it is right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you shall be satisfied with bread. It is not, says the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasts. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of the seed is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flatters with his lips. Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Do not say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save you. Divers weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord, how can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devours that which is holy and afterward vows to make inquiry. A wise king scatters the wicked and brings the wheel over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray hair or gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Now let's go back and see what's going on. Okay, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. The word mocker literally should say this, will cause you to talk arrogantly. Anybody that's ever tipped a bottle knows once you begin to drink, your lips get loose and you start talking trash. Okay, I used to call it liquid brain remover when I was into that. That's what it did. And the word strong drink, it says liquor. The word should say liquor. Liquor is raging or will cause you to rage. Strong drink will cause you to rage. And whosoever is deceived or led astray or intoxicated thereby is not wise. Did it say it's going to send you to hell for doing it? Where'd the church get that thought process? Out of the bottomless pit? Wasn't in the scriptures. Okay, the fear of the king is as the roaring of a lion, and whoso provokes him to anger brings judgment to his life, is what it should say. It'll bring judgment to your life. Verse 3, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife. It's good to come to peace, isn't it? It's honorable to be at peace. But every fool will be meddling or quarreling. Verse 4, the sluggard. Just put the word lazy in there, because that's what the word sluggard means. It's lazy. The lazy will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Now, we're not talking about somebody not plowing his field so he's not going to get anything to eat. We're talking spiritual things here, aren't we? And our field is our mind. And if we don't break up that fallow ground of our mind and get the seed in there, that word of God in there, are we going to have anything in harvest? And I think Jesus stated very clearly that you pray to the Lord of harvest that he would send workers forth to bring forth the harvest, didn't he? People don't want to harvest. This is a spiritual thing. It's not talking about you're not going to get a piece of bread to eat because you didn't plow the field. That's the natural side of it. We're talking the spiritual side, aren't we? He said, but you'll beg and harvest and have nothing. You're going to be kind of like the 12 virgins. Or 10 virgins, rather. You get four oil for your lamp. You got to get it yourself, see? You got to take responsibility for your own thinking process, not let somebody think for you. Okay? Verse 5, counsel. Let me say something about that before. If there's no preparation, there will be no harvest in your life. That's what verse 4 is saying. Okay? No preparation, no harvest. You can't just wander out in the middle of the field somewhere and find your harvest, can you? You got to have some preparation. Okay, verse 5. Counsel or purpose in the heart or the mind of man is like deep water. Now it's not saying 100 foot deep water. It's saying water that's deep down in the earth. See? Purpose in the mind of man is like deep water, or water that's down deep in the earth. It takes a lot to get it out, doesn't it? But a man of understanding will draw it out. He'll find a way to get it out. He'll find to get the purpose out of a man. You see what I'm saying? See the parallel? He'll put the extra work in to see to it that he gets that purpose brought to the surface. That water or that purpose in your mind. But there's labor involved. Verse 6. Most men, and that's the Adamic man, that's 120, it's Adam. Most Adamic men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, or humanity's goodness, or literally faithfulness. So it says, most Adamic men will proclaim mankind or humanity's faithfulness. But a faithful man, who can find?
They say they are. They're not walking what they're talking.
But a faithful human, who can find one? I got a man I know that's always said, I'm a man of faith. I'm full of faith. Really? Could you show it to me? Because I haven't seen it yet, you know. If you're faithful, that means you should be full of faith. I should be able to see it. Shouldn't I?
That man is flying in pieces.
He's definitely fragmented.
Yeah. That man right there, that is man.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Okay, verse 7. The just man does what? Lives in his integrity. Not walks, but lives in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Anyone that cares for his children, loves his children, should walk in integrity, shouldn't they? Because that right there tells you, God's word says that if you live, a man lives in his integrity, his children will be blessed after him. Okay? A king that sits in the throne of judgment scatters away, or literally sifts out all evil with his eyes. You know why? Because the eyes can tell a big story. And he can look at you, and you know when a king sitting in judgment looks at you with just his eyes, he can do things to you in the natural. But we're talking spiritual, aren't we? And spiritually, what did he say, that the seven spirits were the seven eyes of the Lord? It's the seven spirits of God, and I'm not going to break in all that down. If you want to look at it, you know, that's, I give you the thought process. Now you can look up the seven eyes or the seven spirits of the Lord, okay? Verse 9, who can say, I have made my mind clean, I am pure or cleansed from my habitual sinfulness? Who can say that?
Only the eye man.
Nobody can say it legitimately, can they? Nobody could do it. See, no one could do it, but God has to do it for us. That's what the purpose of the cross was all about, to show us we couldn't do it, he did it for us. Otherwise, then, that would make God an ignorant person, a stupid person, that he would take and kill his son, put him on the cross, and torture him like he went through if we could do it ourselves. I mean, it's insanity. Why would he have done it? He didn't do it that way. He did it because we couldn't do it ourselves. Verse 10. Divers weights are different weights and different measures. Both of them are alike disgusting to the Lord. Verse 23 in the same chapter says the things. Divers weights are an abomination or disgusting to the Lord, and a false balance or scale is not good. There's parallel verses right there. Verse 11, even the child is known by his deeds, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. Even by the way a child acts, they can tell whether it's a good child or not, can't they? A godly child or not. The hearing ear, there's that word shama, and the seeing eye, the Lord has made even both of them. So how can we say, look what I've seen, listen to what I've heard? Is it by our own ability we can see and hear what God's saying?
See?
It's only by the Spirit of God that he said that he creates the hearing ear and seeing eye. That's why he said you're blessed when you can see and hear, because he did it for you. He gave you the blessing. Nothing that you did, you didn't earn a thing. We're saved by grace through faith, and it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast about it. See, we've got no right to boast about what we know. We got what we got because God wanted us to have it.
Yes.
No other reason. God wanted us to have it. It's not because you're better than anybody else or worse than anybody else. It's just God's purpose. And the tree of good and evil both brings the purpose, don't it? Both of them on the same tree. Doesn't make any difference. God will get what he wants. Verse 13, love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and literally what it's saying is be observant. Be observant. And that's not just in this. It's in every aspect of your life you should be observant. When you're driving down the road, Lisa, you could tell us that, couldn't you? Be very, very observant, right? Even if you are, sometimes you get whacked. But I'm saying being observant can alleviate some of these issues in life, can't it?
Yeah.
And that's not just one issue of life. It's in every aspect of your life. Everything you do, you should be watching on what's going on around you. Somebody can sneak up on you. Some situation can come up on you. And if just by being observant, you can sidestep just one step and let it pass you by. Just be observant about everything in your life, okay? He said, if you are observant, you shall be satisfied with bread or food or substance that you need to live. Okay? Verse 14, it is not. And literally what that says, that word not, it is not there twice. It should say, it's not a good buy, it's not a good buy, says the buyer. But when he has gone his way, then he boasts how good a deal he really got. It's people, what people call horse trading today. Flea market. You go in there and say, they got something marked for $20, and it might be worth $20. Might very well be worth more than that. And yet they still try to Jew them down. I know people like that that go to the store, the grocery store, and say, if there's some way you can drop a few pennies off of that or something. Every place they go, they try to cut a penny here, save a penny there, say, hey, I make a lot of money through the years. But you're Jewing somebody down. You know, there's not an option in that in my life. Usually I just pay what I have to pay and go on. I don't worry about those things. Like going to a gas station trying to Jew the pump down, you know. Can't you lower that down on the pump a little bit? Okay. Verse 15. There is gold and a multitude of precious stones, but the lips of knowledge are a more precious thing, is what it should say. A more precious thing. Where it says a precious jewel should be a more precious thing. So the lips of knowledge are more precious than gold and a multitude of precious stones. Now, I know the world don't see that, but I really don't care what they see. I know it's the truth.
Because they're not functioning out of that mind of Christ we were speaking about.
So they can't see what we're talking about. It's okay. They don't understand. Their computer is still on Microsoft Word 2.1 or something like that, you know.
Well, they put more value in things than...
Right, than in the reality.
That's really important.
Not seeing about good and evil was a veil before their eyes to keep them from seeing what's really.
Absolutely. Their cherubim were working overtime. Verse 16, take his garment that is a surety for a stranger. Let me look at the Living Bible, okay? Let me look at the Living Bible. It says it pretty good. Proverbs. Let me look it up here. Just take a second. 20. What verse was that? 16. It's risky to make loans to strangers. That's what it says in the Living Bible. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. It says it's a risky business to take a loan for somebody, be a pledge for somebody. Now, let's go spiritual on this. There you go. It's a soul. Can I trust my soul to fulfill what I need? And that's the strange woman. So I can't trust my emotions, my soul, to fulfill what my man wants, can I? My man's got to do it. My Christ's got to take control. Verse 17. The bread of deception is sweet to humanity, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. I don't know if you ever had a mouth gravel in your mouth, have you? I have. I bought a pizza one time, and the mushrooms had rocks in them. And it wasn't very funny, because when I bit down on it, I broke a tooth. Because I was really hungry. Man, I really chomped that piece of pizza. I bit it right into. But I also broke a tooth. I took the rock out and looked at it and laid it down. I said, huh. Picked up, took another bite and hit another rock. Put that rock down. And picked up another piece of pizza. Took a bite in the third one. And I'd chipped at least one tooth. I don't know if there's any more, and I can't remember. But anyway, I bit three different rocks off. I said, that's it. Pushed it back. Called the waitress, and she said, well, can I help you? I said, yeah, there's rocks on this pizza. She said, what? And I said, look at the gravel right there. She looked at it and said, where'd that come from? I said, in these mushrooms. I said, look, in mushrooms, you could pick in them and find there's more rocks in them. When they had grown, they had picked it up out of the soil somehow, picked up little pieces of gravel. And she said, you're the third or fourth one today that's complained about that. And they're still using the same. Was there a lawsuit there? I just told the man, said, you know, fix my teeth. And the insurance company was tickled. They ended up giving me like $500 to get my tooth fixed. It cost $20 back then, you know, it was a long time ago. And they said, well, you know, you lost your day's wages, take work off, traveling from here to there and everything. So how about I said, how about I just give you $500? Okay. I didn't ask for it. He just gave it to me. So you send me a check, I'll cash it. So we don't like gravel in your mouth. I'll tell you from experience, it's not funny. Especially when it says when you're deceiving somebody, that's what's going to get you. Every purpose, verse 18, is established by counsel, and with wise counsel make war. Of course, we don't make war anymore, do we? Because who's the battle belong to?
The Lord.
The Lord. It's God's battle.
He sees nothing.
Yeah, he ain't worried about it. He doesn't see himself as having any enemies. He that goes about or lives as a slanderer reveals intimate secrets. He that lives as a slanderer reveals intimate secrets. Therefore, fellowship not with him that entices or seduces with his lips. You know those ones that's always got those slick tongue, you're always trying to con somebody into something. So don't even fellowship with them. Verse 20. Whoso curses, and the word curse is not really a legitimate word there. It should say dishonors. Whoever dishonors his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Now let me give you an understanding of obscure darkness. It literally should say in the middle of his darkness or his what?
Ignorance.
In the midst of his ignorance, he's going to go. That tells me that in this lifetime, when he dishonors his father and his mother, he's not going to ever come to the revelation of God, is he? They're going to die in their ignorance, in this carnality. They're never going to come to...
Something.
Yes, he did. And you think he's really talking about his mother and his father natural? That's just a shadow and a type, isn't it? So the reality of it is, who dishonors his father God and his mother, mama, the church, or the soul, either one. See, he's disrespecting himself, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because what is a soul? It's a mixture of God and flesh, both. Sure. There's a lot of ways of analogies you could put that into. And so many, however many people are, that's how many ways you could do it. Okay, verse 21. An inheritance, cross out the words may be. It should be an inheritance gotten hastily at the beginning, the end thereof shall not be blessed. So what's he saying? The way you get it is earn it, isn't it? The lottery and all this free junk, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody had to pay for it. You might have got by with it, but there's nothing free. Verse 22, do not say, I will recompense or repay evil, but wait on the Lord and he shall deliver you. Verse 23, divers weights are an abomination or disgusting to the Lord, and a false balance or scale is not good. Now, let's look at this next one, verse 24. Man's goings, the word goings here is steps. Man's steps are order of the Lord. How can a man, okay, or Adam man, then understand his own course of life? If my steps are ordered of the Lord, how can I understand it? Because I didn't order it. I'm just walking it, right?
How can the Adam man
understand anything? Because man's goings are of the Lord. The Adam man is still. Lois, have you got that pulled up right there on 24? Is that first word, man, what is it? Okay, we're not in a hurry. We got a few seconds here.
It's Gemar.
Verse 24? Mm-hmm. What's it say?
G-E-B-E-R. It's from properly a valiant man or a warrior.
Okay. Okay. A man's goings are of the Lord, or steps are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own course of life? It's impossible, see? Everybody thinks that they can. The church world has got this humanistic view. You remember in the Gospels about the parable of the mustard seed?
Yeah.
Where there was a mustard seed a man took and planted in his field, and when it grew, it became a great tree. Well, there's something wrong with that picture. Because the mustard is just a little herb.
Mm-hmm.
And it became a great tree. And what is anything that grows out of the earth is symbol of humanity. You know, little bushes or trees or whatever, it's all humanity. It became humanistic. This little seed that God planted in the gospel in the heart of man has become the kingdom, has become humanistic, a big tree. And as soon as it did, what come and lodged there? The birds of the air, the fowls, the humanistic thoughts, the demonic thoughts are in that humanistic way of doing things. That's why the church is so screwed up. They can't see that. Okay? But they can't even understand it. But they're just doing it. It is a snare to the man, okay, the Adamic man, who speaks rashly, not devours, but speaks rashly. It's a holy thing. And afterwards promises to consider it. He says, yeah, it's okay, but then he changed his mind. How many people we know that do those things? In the heat of the moment, they do things. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I've had people come to me. I'm going to give you a bunch of money. I'm going to do this and I'm going to give it so you can just build the kingdom of God. And I said, I can't do that. I can't build the kingdom anyway. The kingdom is. Means it's already now. It's present. I can't do that. But they never ever put a dime in. But I mean, it sounds good when they say it in front of people. They're stroking themselves. And it's okay.
Their actions never back up with their words.
Never. I used to tell people when I counsel them all the time, you know, excuse me, I can't hear you. Your lifestyle is speaking louder than your words. You're not doing what you're saying you're doing. You're doing something else. Okay, verse 26. A wise king scatters or sifts the wicked and brings the wheel over them. A wise king sifts the wicked and brings the wheel over them. That's a little bit of judgment there, isn't it? The spirit man is the candle of the Lord, not the spirit of man. The word of shouldn't be there. Okay? The spirit man is the candle of the Lord, causing the searching of all the inward parts of the mind. See, the spirit man is the candle of the Lord. Now, I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and read something else to you, a verification of what we're just talking about there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I think it's 11. Yep. Here's a verse that verifies just what it said back there. Because what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man, and that of shouldn't be there either. That's an added word. Except the spirit man which is in him. There's only one spirit in man, isn't there? Even so, and in this way, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. That's a parallel scripture to what we just read there in verse 27 of chapter 20. But I'm going to say it again. The spirit man is the candle of the Lord, causing the searching of all the inward parts of the mind, not the belly, the mind. Verse 28, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden or supported by mercy. Verse 29, the beauty of young men, not the glory, but the beauty of young man is their strength, and the beauty of old man is the gray hair, if you got any. The blueness of the wound cleanses away evil. And literally it should say, the bruising of a wound cleanses away evil. So do stripes, the inward parts of the mind. So it's saying when you get bruised up, it'll take, when you get beaten for your wickedness, and that's what they did under the law, wasn't it? They beat people. And that would give you a motivation not to do those things, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And he's saying, so do the stripes, the inward parts of the belly or the mind. When you are corrected or punished as a child, it'll make you look at things a lot differently. It'll make you have a respect for authority. It'll have you make you have a respect for the rules and regulations of humanity, won't it? Of life itself. So, judgment is a good thing. And sometimes the negative judgments we have in life are good things for us, aren't they? We have to learn to understand that the bad things happen. Out of every bad thing, a good thing will come. Every bad thing, a good thing will materialize out of it. You just got to have the eyes to see it. Yeah. My house burnt down. Well, guess what? I get a new one.
Yeah.
All new furniture. Everything new. Get start over again.
Not as cluttered.
Get rid of all the clutter, you know, see. There'd be a lot of people's houses to be better off if they burned down. I've seen some of them recently. They are something else. They really need it. There it is, see?
Didn't have to change the oil, didn't have to change the title valve.
there you go, see? I mean, look at all the benefits out, see? And the way you look at something is the whole deal of it. Your attitude and the way you look at something makes the whole deal, don't it?
Made your neck feel better.
Yeah. Straighten your neck up from the last wreck. I mean, come on.